So I'd like Danielle to sing that one part of that song, the Alabaster song, the chorus part. Because I think she knew I was going to ask for this. Because I just felt like there was something that Holy Spirit was wanting to do in that moment, that if we will just sit in it for just a moment, then I think that he'll have the opportunity to kind of go a little deeper with us. Because, like, I can speak to you about fasting. I can give you the scripture verses. I can give you examples. I can make you laugh about fasting. And I can do all of this stuff. But really, the whole point of fasting is found in this chorus. It's just kind of having this full abandonment to God. And we have so many things in our lives that pressure us and create barriers in us from free-falling into the fullness of who God is and who he wants us to be, that if we will just take the moments that are presented to us in his presence and really connect to him and allow the Holy Spirit to connect with us in a deeper level, then I believe that just doing that is going to create such an atmosphere for your fast to create a shift in your life. And so I just want us to give us an opportunity to sit in the presence of Holy Spirit while Danielle sings this. And I just want you to open yourself up. I'll get up and I'll share. Unless the Holy Spirit decides otherwise. But because I'm completely okay with that. This is not the Feral Show. I never want it to be that. I never, ever, ever want it to be that. It's about Jesus. It's about what he paid the price for. They sang about that, you know, that he gave his everything for us and how little we really give for him. I mean, if you think in perspective, we sing really well about sacrificing everything, but do we really know what that looks like or what that could entail? And so let's just let the Holy Spirit kind of unveil our hearts before us as we embark on this journey of fasting. And we're just going to do that right here for the next few moments. And if you need to come up here, you're more than welcome to. If you need to just sit there and just allow God to speak to you, that's fine too. Whatever you need to do to connect, this is the time to connect.
So here it is, my alabaster heart. I'm keeping nothing back from who you are. No hidden treasure veiled by key or lock. You're a lifetime worth of worship. And that's only just the start. So here it is, my every waking day. The minutes, the hours, the years of endless praise. For you're worthy far beyond all I could say. There's a lifetime worth of worship in the nuance of your names. So let it rise like incense, my whole life, a fragrance every ounce, here broken at your feet. Every breath an offering, my heart cries. These lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings. So let it rise like incense, my whole life, a fragrance every ounce, here spilled out at your feet. And every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy, 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 worthy King. Let it rise like incense, my whole life as a fragrance every hour. at your feet, and every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings. Cause there it is, your alabaster cross, giving all you are for all I'm not. I can't believe that's the kind of King you are. How could I not bring a lifetime worth of worship to you, God? So let it rise like incense, my whole life as a fragrance, every ounce here poured out at your feet. Oh, every breath an offering of my heart cries, whole life, a fragrance, every ounce here spilled out at your feet, and every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings.
Something about being intentional about giving your all to Jesus. Jesus is not looking for you to strong arm him into answering your prayers through fasting. That is not the intention of Jesus. The idea is to see how much are you willing to let go of in order to embrace the all that he has. I want to tell you a quick story. When I was when I was like 19 or no, probably 20, God called me into a time of fasting, and I needed some answers. Have you ever been to the point in your life that you just needed answers? You know, it's just like, man, I just need something to make things make sense. I just need something to make sense. And so I was in that place, and I had several decisions that I needed to make. And so I felt like the Lord called me into this time of 4 days of prayer and fasting, and I just locked myself into a house that was next to the church, and at the church that I attended in Burlington, Iowa. And I locked myself in that place for 4 days, and I went there thinking that and hoping and praying that by the end of that 4 days, and if I was to look back and really to be honest with myself and honest with you, I was hoping that I would have done enough to earn God's attention so that He would answer my prayer and speak to my heart. But what He did blew my mind away. Because what He did was, at the very onset of that fast, I closed the door, I turned on some worship music, I was there in the living room of that house all by myself. And in that moment, within the first 30 minutes of my intentional seeking of the Lord, He gave me the answer to my prayer. And He said to me, "Now, let's spend some time together." And so, today, as we are preparing ourselves, as we, and many of us have already started our fast for this year, I want to encourage you that He's not looking for you to earn an answer to prayer during these 21 days. He's not looking for you to perform. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you got the answer to your prayers within the first few hours or first few days of this fast. And then I want what He said to me to echo in your spirit. Let's spend some time together. Let's spend some time together. So, Holy Spirit, we are humbled by the reality of your presence in this place this morning. We understand that we did not earn this. But you love us so much that you would come. And we are so grateful to you for that. And we posture ourselves for this 21-day fast. We posture ourselves to get to know you, to love you, to pursue you, to allow you to rise as the centerpiece of our lives, and allowing everything else to fall to the wayside. Holy Spirit, help us today. Help us today and help us in these 21 days. Help us to apprehend God like we have never done before. Give us a revelation of Jesus that we have never had before. Open up our ears, Holy Spirit, to hear like we have never heard before. And as we maintain an empty stomach, may we have the capacity to have a full spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I would like us just to stand to our feet and sing this just the chorus part. Give our all to Him.
So let it rise like incense, my whole life a fragrance, every ounce here broken at Your feet, and every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over You, my worthy King of kings. So let it rise like incense, my whole life a fragrance, every ounce here broken at Your feet, and every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over You, my worthy King of kings. So let it rise like incense, my whole life a fragrance, every ounce here broken at Your feet, and every breath an offering, my heart cries, these lungs sing over You, my worthy King of kings, over You, my worthy King of kings, we sing over You, my worthy King of kings, over
Jesus. Jesus. Be seated if you can. Sometimes he just has to make us speechless so that he can speak and be heard. Everybody okay? Everybody doing okay with this? I don't know what I'm doing, so let me make you comfortable. I don't know what I'm doing either. But I know Jesus does. I know Jesus knows what he's doing. Sometimes we just don't know what to say, so we just make noises. Like, I love the babies making the little noise over there. And you know, that's what babies do when they're hungry, right? They make noise. They don't know how to do anything else. So they just make noise. And sometimes when we don't know what to do, sometimes all we have to do is make some noise because we're hungry. And the father's like, look at my little cute baby. Making noise because they're hungry. And sometimes when we sit in the presence of God like this, without saying anything, that's us making noise to our Father saying, we're so hungry. We're so hungry. We don't even know what we want. Let's be honest. We don't even know what we want. But we know that you know what we need. And so we'll take that. We'll take that every time, Father. Every time. Are you guys ready for a fast? Yeah. Amen. I'm not going to speak very long this morning because I feel like the Holy Spirit has already spoken well to us. But I have been tasked with helping us kind of get focused on why we fast and the value of fasting. So I'm going to touch on just a couple of things this morning, and then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll be off on our fasting journey together. How many of you have already begun your fast? Yes, good. Good, good. Excellent. How many of you know what you're going to fast? Excellent. How many of you hate fasting? I will raise up both of my hands and my foot. I would raise up my other foot if I could, because I really am not a fan of fasting. I love the results of it, but I don't like the process of it at all. It's horrible. You know, it's like Charles Dickens, who wrote The Tale of Two Cities, his opening sentence was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And I can say that is true about fasting, for sure. It's the best of times because it produces something amazing in my life. It's the worst of times because I like food. I'm a big fan. You know, of eating. I just am. You know, Danielle and I, to celebrate our Last Supper, last night we went to a restaurant, and we had a hamburger. And guys, we had one of those s'mores bazookies. Oh, I don't know if you know what those are, but those are heaven on earth if you haven't had one. And so we went out last night, and we had our Last Supper together. And then we woke up this morning, and so we begin. And, you know, typically I get a little cranky for the first couple of days. Danielle was a little nervous about the fast because I do get a little bit cranky, suffering from withdrawals of all the stuff that I eat that I shouldn't probably. It was a good morning this morning. I feel like there is something supernatural that happened this morning that I don't think I'm going to be cranky this time, Danielle. She'll be able to testify whether that ended up happening or not by Wednesday. So come Wednesday night and you will be able to ask her specifically, was Farrell cranky? So she'll be honest with you. That's one thing we can count on Danielle, is honesty. So anyway, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times, but it is important. And Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, when he was teaching all of these wonderful principles of how to live our lives by the kingdom, he put in a section in there in Matthew chapter 6 about fasting, and he started it by saying, "When you fast." So we know that Jesus' intention was that his disciples, his followers, the believers in Jesus would be people who fast. It would be a part of our discipleship. And so he wasn't giving us an option on this. This is something that he intends for us to do, to go through this spiritual exercise of fasting. And so, as most of you and many of you know, the New Testament was mostly written in Greek and Aramaic. And so I had to take I had to look and see what that word fast meant, because maybe there's a loophole somewhere, right? So if I can look in the original language, maybe there's a loophole and I really don't have to give up as much as I think I have to give up. And so the definition of the word fast did not prove to be very beneficial for me. The definition means to voluntarily abstain from food for a spiritual purpose. Well, that doesn't really help me very much, because that's what I don't want to do, is abstain from food. So anyway, the Bible held true to the interpretation, and so I am engaging on a fast in the next 21 days. That has to do with denying my body some food. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, because I really think that a lot of times we there's nothing wrong with this. A lot of times we choose to fast things like social media or talking to your husband or wife, and you know, no, I hope none of you fast that. But some of us fast things that are outside of that category of food. But I want to really encourage you on this 21-day fast is to take some time within that 21 days to fast food. You know, if you're fasting other things, that's great, and I think there's power in that. But I would like to really encourage you to take either a meal a day or maybe a whole day or maybe a series of days and fast and give yourself to the Lord in prayer and just see the difference that it makes. I know it's hard, and some of you can't do it because of medical reasons, and that's fine. I'm not trying to place any unneeded pressure on you to do anything outside of what you have it purpose in your heart to do before the Lord, but I would like you to consider it, because that is the original definition of the word fast. And Daniel actually took it in Daniel, we read where he fasted unpleasant things. He fasted meat and stuff like that. So if you like something a lot in the area of food, maybe you can fast something like coffee or sweets. Maybe. That was funny. I saw something, but I won't say it out loud. But you know what you like, right? You know what you like. You know what chocolates. I know some people really like chocolate, and for some of you, fasting chocolate is a really big deal. And so just kind of consider that, and maybe you can make that as a part of your fast as well, and just see what the Lord does through that. Because when you are willing to give up something that you really like in order to pursue the one that you really love, there's something that communicates to the heart of the Father that is just like, it's such a tender moment. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. So we're going to look at one example of fasting in the New Testament, and then I'm going to jump to the end of the teaching. But because I'm not going to teach for very long. But this one example is like the best example ever, because it's Jesus. So, I mean, Jesus is the perfect example of all things. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, we're going to see in the first two verses where Jesus, the writer of Luke, says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit, he was led into the wilderness, right? And in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, okay? So in these first two verses of Luke chapter, Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus full of the Spirit. Now, let's jump down to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. This is after he has gone through the 40 days of fasting and prayer. He's resisted the devil in temptation. And this is what we read at this point. When Jesus went into the wilderness, that's not the scripture verse. Sorry, I was reading my own quotation. Let me read the scripture verse. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Now, when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was full of the Spirit. When he came out of the wilderness, he was Spirit empowered. And there's something to that I think we can learn from. We are full of the Spirit people in this church. We love being filled with the Spirit. We love the presence of the Spirit. We are tongue-talking, Spirit-filled believers here at Liberty Life Center. We are full of the Spirit. During this time of fasting, this 21 days, I want you to begin to believe and put your expectation on the fact that once we are done, even as Jesus completed his time of fasting and prayer, that he emerged from that time as a Spirit-empowered person. And I believe with all of my heart that as we engage in this fast, that at the end of these 21 days, we as a church corporately are going to emerge as Spirit-empowered. Can you believe with that, for that with me? I believe that we have, according to the prophetic word, if you were here on New Year's Eve, or if you've gotten it and you've read it, or if you've listened to it online, you have heard the assignments that God has given us to accomplish this year. There are many, and they need the power of the Spirit. And unless we fully engage ourselves at this beginning time frame, Jesus made sure that he engaged himself in fasting before he launched into his 3.5 years of ministry. Before we engage in our assignments as a church to do the things that God has called us to do in 2020, it is imperative that we take this 21 days very seriously and we engage in this time of fasting so that we too, like Jesus, can emerge ready as Spirit-empowered believers to do the assignments that he has for us to do in 2020. Are you in agreement with that? Amen. I am in agreement with that too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it. So, one of the things that we accomplish in fasting, and this is going to be very important for us. One of the things that we accomplish in fasting is that we break down barriers that have been set up in our lives. You know, we all have gone through stuff, right? Life causes us to go through stuff. And a lot of times the stuff that we go through creates an internal reality that needs to be broken so that God's reality can invade our lives. See, Ephesians 3:20 says that God can do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, right? That's what Paul said that God can do. But a lot of times what happens in us is that we have disappointments, we have expectations that have not been met, we have situations, we have mindsets, we have belief systems, all of these things that can create barriers in our lives to keep us from the fullness of what God wants to do. So if I can have two volunteers really quick, I want to go ahead and give this illustration. I'm not going to hit you with it, I promise. Oh, Jessica and Mariela, can you go on the stage real quick so people can see it better? All right, so you get a stick, and you get a stick. All right, so what I want you to do with those sticks is I want you to fight. I want you to do stick fighting. No, I'm just kidding. Or maybe we should let them do that. I don't know. I think Mariela actually knows how to stick fight, so let's pray for Jessica. All right, so if you could just make a triangle by leaning your, and put your other end on the floor. All right, triangle it. There you go. All right, so what this triangle is going to represent is the fullness of the will of God for your life. All right, there are 5 things that I'm really believing for in 2020. 5 things that I am believing for the fullness of the will of God to be accomplished. First of all, in my life. Second of all, in my family. And that includes my in-laws. So there you go, in-laws. Yes, for the in-laws. So myself, my family, my church, this region, and this nation. Those are the 5 things that I am focusing my prayer and my beliefs on for this year in 2020. And so this represents, for me, the fullness of the will of God in all 5 of those areas. All right? And so what ends up happening is that there is a certain amount of the will of God that we can ascertain. I know that's a big word, right? But we can get a hold of by praying, right? So we can just give ourselves to prayer forget fasting, we can pray. And there is a certain amount of the will of God that we can accomplish. But there are barriers in our lives that can only be broken as we engage in fasting and prayer. So notice that here, can you hold this? Thank you. So notice that here, the only thing that changed in this scenario is the barrier, correct? The will of God never changed. The will of God is always the will of God. And there is a will of God for each one of us to dive into and to go after. But the enemy is always trying to put barriers to keep us from experiencing the fullness of that will. The way I can know that this is true is in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus went through that whole transfiguration event where he met with his father. Moses and Elijah came on the mountain. Remember all that? And it was like amazing. And Peter, James, and John were so captivated by what happened. And then they came down from that mountain experience and they met a man and his son, and his son has had epilepsy and was demonically possessed. All right? And so the father came to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on my son. I tried to get your disciples to cast out the demons, but they couldn't." And Jesus was like, "What is your problem, people?" And then he cast out the demons, and then the boy was healed, all right? And the disciples are like, "What was wrong with us? We were commissioned by you. You said we had authority. What was wrong with us?" And Jesus said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And so there's an element of fasting that helps break the barriers into the fullness of the will of God. Was it God's will for that epileptic boy to be healed, even when the disciples were praying for him? But he wasn't, right? And that was because the enemy set up a barrier that kept that will from being fully realized. But Jesus said, when you pray and fast, what happens is you break the barrier and then you have access to the fullness of the will of God. And so thank you, ladies, you did a great job. I know that was hard work, right? So as you're praying and as you're fasting, I want to really encourage you to allow yourself to engage in it to the fullest extent possible, because you are breaking barriers in your life, in your family, in this church, in this region, in this nation, in the world. You are breaking barriers and you are creating an atmosphere and a shift in which the fullness of the will of God can come and be realized. All right, that's what we're engaging in when we're fasting. I know it seems like all we're doing is tormenting ourselves, but really there is a higher purpose and there is a very spiritual dynamic to it. And if we can walk out of here understanding and realizing that spiritual dynamic, it will help us engage in the activity of fasting and not give in to the desires of the flesh to eat that candy bar. Which I work with Beth here at the office, and I know that she's probably fasting chocolate, so I'll probably have chocolate here for her. is that like bad? that's evil. I won't do that. I won't do that. Because I'll be fasting chocolate too, so it's okay. I don't want to have it sitting in front of me either. All right, so yeah, I need to put a barrier up against the chocolate. So let me close with this. I know this was very short, but Dean Sherman, who is the College of Christian Ministries at Youth with a Mission. How many of you know what Youth with a Mission is? It's a very powerful organization that takes young people into the missions fields. They've been operating in signs, wonders, and miracles for years, and they've been going into unreached people groups. Anyway, he works with them, and he stated that he told a story about about an exorcism that he, or casting out of a devil that he experienced or heard the story of overseas. And he stated that the exorcism was very dramatic, which they tend to like to be because they like attention. When a Christian declared on the recording that they were going to fast and pray until the person was delivered, the demon spoke out, said, "No, don't fast." The Christian demanded, "Why not?" And the demon answered, "It weakens us. It weakens us." What? Hey, is that motivation to stay true to your fast? Yeah, let's weaken some demonic activity around our lives, huh? Come on, somebody. So what I really believe that is happening is that when we engage in fasting, we get a clear revelation of who God is. And so the enemy is no longer intimidating to us because we have a clear picture of who God is. So the greater the picture we can have of God is, the less intimidating and powerful the enemy can be in our lives, and therefore his influence is weakened. And so as we do this fasting, I believe that God is going to empower each one of us to do it well. And that even all through it, testimonies will begin to surface as far as what happened and how amazing it has been. And some of you may even have testimonies of how you gave in and you were weak and then you got back up again. It's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up, right? All right, so in closing, I'm going to read a story out of this book called The Jesus Fast. And this was written by Lou Engle, who is an amazing intercessor, and he fasts often. He is a catalyst of revival and awakening in the United States and around the world. He is a man of God. How many of you have heard of Lou Engle? Lou Engle, powerful man of God. All right, so the reason I'm going to read this story is because it's going to help you see how a man of God processes the idea of fasting. It's kind of humorous, actually, but it is a little bit long, so have patience with me. Stay engaged, okay? I know reading, you can kind of float away, but I want you to stay engaged, okay? Can you do that? 2 minutes, I think. It'll take 2 minutes. I want to dispel the notion that extended fasting and prayer is just for the few spiritual people. In actuality, fasting is one of three disciplines that Jesus called his own disciples to. He said, "When you pray, when you give alms, and when you fast, you will receive a reward from the Father." Fasting for every disciple. Fasting is for every disciple, but we get overwhelmed with the weakness of the flesh and our seeming inability to conquer the unconquerable appetites of the natural man. How many can relate to that? All right, the great news is that it does not all depend on us. Christ lives within us, and he moves within us to give us the inward motivation to fast. Fasting is a grace that comes from heaven. I have found that it is also fraught with human failure and weakness. Unless you seek to elevate my journey above yours, let me begin with my own confession of weakness. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. That's what Paul says. Such was his boast. My boast is, I have failed more fasts than you all. I am a fasting and prayer schizophrenic. To fast or not to fast is my constant question. I have often announced to my wife, "I am fasting today." Once she responded with a little gracious cynicism, "What do you want for breakfast?" Every time you set your face to fast, you are guaranteed to see some cosmic law of temptation and attraction activated, which is why a beautiful pink box of donuts suddenly appears at your office. Before you fast, no donuts. After you decide, in fact, the moment you decide, boom, they appear. I cannot possibly count the number of times maple glazed donuts have been my downfall. One time, about 3 days into a particular corporate fast I had called others to commit to, I found myself facing impossible food cravings. So at home, glancing this way and that to make sure my wife was not looking. I have actually done that before. And then I have said, no, I can't do it because Daniel will find out. After looking this way and that way, I quickly sneaked some yogurt and chips. Anything tastes good when you're fasting. So the next day, I was in our 24-hour house of prayer in Pasadena when a prophetic intercessor walked in. You can already see where this is going. I had a dream of you last night, she said. I saw you sitting where you are sitting right now. And so I thought to myself, this is awesome. God knows my address. Then she said, but in the dream, I was deeply disappointed with you because you were supposed to be fasting. Instead, you were eating yogurt and chips. Those prophets, you can't get away with nothing. My heart sank. I thought, this is terrible. God knows my address. Once he celebrated it, and now he thinks it's terrible. So right now, you are probably either aghast or laughing hysterically. Perhaps the best response is to feel strangely consoled. As for me, I have pondered this story for years. Was God teasing me, gently reminding me in love that his eye is on the sparrow and me? Or was he declaring, son, it is your calling. Now this, listen to this. Son, it is your calling to shift history with prayer and fasting. Do not take my call lightly. Maybe both are true, but I think the latter is more important. Great things issue forth when God calls you to his own intercessions. When God calls you to his own intercessions. And that's what this time of fasting and prayer is that he is calling us into a time of his intercessions and declaring the things that he has already released from heaven and is looking for a voice to release it on the earth. God knew that I would speak and write about fasting and prayer. He was sobering me back to my purpose. And so sometimes we just need that time of prayer and fasting to break through barriers so that we can get to the fullness of the will of God for our lives and his plans and his purpose for us. And so as we engage in this fast, you know, you may fall. You may eat that donut that shows up on Monday morning. You know, I read that story and I'm like, we never have donuts at work. If there is a donut at work tomorrow morning, I'm going to be so mad. But I hope that those few things that I shared give you enough fuel to say no in order to say a bigger yes to the one who is worthy of it all. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being called sons and daughters and being commissioned into this season of prayer and fasting. I pray for each one of us, Lord, as we position ourselves before you, that we will position ourselves in humility, letting go of those things that create barriers so that we can free fall into the fullness of the will of God for our lives. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these that are sitting here today who have already purposed in their hearts to engage in this spiritual activity. I pray that you will bless each one, that God, you would cause a spirit of wisdom and revelation to fall on us as we fast and as we pray. God, I pray that the great revelations of your word would be open to us, that encounters with your spirit would happen in the middle of the night and throughout the processes of our days. Lord Jesus, I pray that our words will be made pure and holy and righteous, that the things that come out of our mouth will be declarations that shift the atmosphere in order to bring heaven to earth. Lord, we just thank you for that. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us with an assignment to fast and pray for these next 21 days. And that, God, after that, we emerge as spirit empowered to accomplish the missions that you have set us on for 2020. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you guys very much. And Herbert is waving to me. Hello. Do I? What? Oh, fasting guide. Yes, fasting guide. There is a fasting guide that we have. It's online at libertylifecenter.org. Or you can pick up one that's out there, $14. in print. You can do both. It's good to have something to write on, to highlight in order to get what you're getting. This is day one, so you can read the introduction in day one. Then write down what you want and the questions that you have that you want further clarification on. There's actually a spot on the website that you can actually key in your questions, and then you hit the submit button and it sends it to Beth so that she can answer all of your questions. Actually, we have something very special planned to answer your questions. So if you will submit your questions, we will be addressing them, so that'll be really good. We can get into greater depth of conversation with this. So go online. You can sign up for email to get it via email. All of these ways, we are trying to make it so convenient for you to go along with us on this fasting journey. So join the ride, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Love you all. But we love Jesus more than anything else, right?
All right. Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.